And it was like someone was holding their thumb on a bottle that was being shaken. And the pressure was building, and the pressure was building, and the pressure was building. Ferguson, anyone? Baltimore, anyone? It's much the same, I think. Because you know how we are. You know what happens when large groups of people get together and some of them are unhappy. And with the stoning of Stephen, the thumb came off the bottle and everything went whoosh, like this. And a great persecution broke out. That's pretty much all it says. I mean, it's just this little bit. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Remember what Jesus said? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. There they go. Wouldn't it be nice if we could tell the story like this? They were together praying, and five of them stood up and said, God's Holy Spirit just told me that I need to go to Jerusalem or Judea. Bless you, brothers. Go. Wouldn't it be nice if the story said 10 people stood up in this prayer meeting and said, God's calling me to Samaria. I'm going. And they said, bless you, brothers. Bless you, sisters. Go. Why did God allow this to happen? I don't know. But the bottle got shook and Stephen was stoned. And we've got these couple little sentences, but my imagination goes to the places that I've mentioned. Ferguson and Baltimore, and people going, yeah, we also have had enough of these people. Were they torching their houses? Were they running into their houses and dragging them out? Were they going to their places of business and knocking stuff over and looting it? Could that have happened? To me, it makes sense. That's why they scattered. They didn't scatter because it was like, oh, you know, Judea's nice this time of year. No, they were running for their lives. And when they got to where they were going, they started talking about Jesus. I mean, that's what got them in trouble right down the road, right? But they get there and they start talking about Jesus, which is because the Holy Spirit was guiding them into all truth, and they were hearing exactly the words that Jesus had for them. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And when the crowd heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. There's a story that follows that about Simon the sorcerer, a guy who wanted the Holy Spirit so he could make money off it. Does that sound familiar? I read that story again this week, and I went, wow, there's nothing new. Then the story of Philip. And the Ethiopian, an angel of the Lord, said to Philip, an angel said, go on down that road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he started out, and on his way he found this man, this Ethiopian, who was probably someone who was not born a Jew, but had heard about the God of Israel and had become a worshiper, a believer in that God. And he is reading this passage from Isaiah, and Philip runs up along the chariot there and says, hey, what's going on? The Ethiopian says, how can I understand this? No one explains it to me. And we had this great scene of Philip saying, well, let's get you baptized. And they get out and he gets baptized and he gets in and he onto Ethiopia, which sounds a lot like the ends of the earth. And I wonder how that guy's life was different. When he got to Ethiopia and he said, all right, this happened to me, did the people go, oh, that's nice? Or did they say, oh, we don't want any of that around here? How was that guy's life different? Did he have to leave his village and go to another and then tell those people about what he had heard? And they go, oh, yeah, okay, the crazy people live on that side of town. Or was the Holy Spirit guiding the hearts of those he talked to in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment? There's a wonderful history of ancient Christianity in Ethiopia that is just fascinating. Some believe the Ark of the Covenant is there. I'll let you decide that on your own. It has nothing to do with any of the notes that I made for tonight. One last story that I want to look at, and then we'll go. Bill.
Yeah, just an exclamation point on the Ethiopian thing.
Yeah.
They came out, and the Spirit of God took Philip and, I mean, Philip, Stephen, Philip, get the right guy, Philip, and whisked him away.
Yeah.
So imagine telling, you and me telling the story that this guy told me about God, and all of a sudden,
he was not there anymore.
I mean, that's
A pretty good exclamation point to put on the end of that story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that made him believable when he got back to the village. You ever seen somebody disappear? I have. Let me tell you about it. It's a great conversation starter. Seriously. I mean, I hadn't thought of that before. Thanks. Imagine being part of a culture that is so centered on being part of a culture. We are who we are because we are who we are. And we might be better than everybody else. In fact, we're God's chosen people. We are better than everybody else. Imagine being part of that culture. Imagine being part of that culture that goes to the temple at 3 and 6 every day. Because that's what you do. Because we're the people of God. And we're special in everything. We're special in the way that we dress. We're special in the way that we pray. We only have one God. We're special because our little kids memorize the Old Testament by the time they're 8 or 9 years old. We're special because we have traditions like Pentecost. We have traditions like Passover. Nobody else has these. We are special. We're special because of what we eat. We're special. We are the children of God. Imagine that culture. And then imagine being part of that culture, and Jesus comes, and now we're even more special because we have seen the Messiah. I mean, he came from our people. He's supposed to save the world, but, you know, that'll happen when it happens because we're the chosen people of God. And you've got this guy, Peter, who has had a front row seat to the whole thing. And Peter is up on his roof praying one day. And he's hungry. The scriptures kind of indicate that he called down and said, hey, somebody fix me something to eat. I mean, it says he was waiting for. And he fell into this kind of trance, and he has this vision of this sheet being lowered down from heaven. I imagine like a big bed sheet or a sail on a ship. And on that are all kinds of things that they aren't supposed to eat. Lobster. Crawdads.
Bacon.
Bacon. You don't think crawdads are?
No, I totally do.
Okay. Yeah. All kinds of things that were not within their purview, their law. The things that they were proud of, the things that made them them. And this voice from heaven says, Peter, why don't you get something to eat? He's like, oh, no, I don't eat bacon. You know, it said that 9 out of 10 rabbis order a ham sandwich when they get to heaven. I don't know if that's true or not. I'll be here all week. Three times this happens. Peter has this vision. Peter, rise, kill and eat. No, no, Lord, I don't eat any of that stuff. Three times it happens. And then this voice saying to him, again, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And he kind of came out of it and went, man, that was weird. Meanwhile, at Cornelius' house, Cornelius was this man raised as a pagan outside of the special people. who had come to believe in God and ran his household as a man that believed in God, prayed to the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Cornelius is praying one day, much like Peter was praying way down the road, and Cornelius hears this voice that says, tell you what, the angel said, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. How interesting. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man called Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. So Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants and told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So you got Peter praying in Joppa. You got Cornelius at his house praying. They have visions that suddenly dovetail together, and these guys show up at Peter's house. Knock, knock. Peter, there's some soldiers at the door. They're here to see you. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. Do they have a warrant? Right? So Peter, having had this vision, goes to Cornelius' house. Hears Cornelius' story and starts talking about Jesus. And is blown away because of this. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, those Jewish believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Wait a minute. These aren't the special people. Just hold on a second here. How can this be happening? The Holy Spirit was for us. Jesus is for us. And now we have these unwashed people, these uncircumcised people, being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. How can this be? And Peter, bless his heart, with the help of the Holy Spirit, got over himself. Mm-hmm. And he got over it. And then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them a few days. I bet they did. Tell us what just happened. Now, the story indicates that those people's hearts were already softened toward God. That Cornelius and his household were worshipers of God. They just needed to hear the rest of the story. And Peter showed up and told them the rest of the story. Chapter 11, Peter gets back to Jerusalem and the guys say, what on earth have you done? Peter says, what am I going to do? I was there. I saw it. And they rejoiced because they realized that God was doing something so new that they couldn't even get their heads around it. One last thing I want to tell you. Scholars seem to indicate that between the day of Pentecost and Peter's visit to Cornelius, it was about 6 years. That's not very long. I mean, Julie and I have been here for 11 and a half years. In 11 and a half years, we have seen a lot of things change here at Flushing Community Church. And thankfully, a lot of things stay the same. 6 years is not long when you're talking about a church that's growing by thousands of people every day. These people had a lot to do. There's a lot going on here. So if we look at the story, we say, you know, how does this sort out? Is it a matter of days? No, it's about 6 years. Which isn't long at all for Peter to be going to Cornelius' house and saying, things are much different than we thought. That the Holy Spirit is here for the Gentiles at Cornelius' house and the Gentiles in Flushing, Michigan in the 21st century. Nate's going to talk about Paul next week. You're wondering, well, what about Paul getting knocked off the horse? Nate's going to take care of that next week. This is really, really the start. And I'm sure Nate will cover this, but interesting that Peter does this thing at Cornelius' house, and yet it's Paul that's called to go to the Gentiles. and Peter stays among the Jewish community, cultivating believers there. But questions, comments, points of rebuttal on all this? I included pictures because I just didn't have enough notes to take up room on that page.